Imagine the possibilities.
It's disastrous, no doubt, but in fact, nothing of the sort occurred.
Not at the ceremony, no, though what did happen was quite bad enough.
Ah, yes, and reported in the most excellent detail.
Damn scandal sheets.
When this lady tried to gain entry to the wedding breakfast, did your wife see her or hear her?
No, thank goodness. But that fool Lestrade insists that Flora decoyed my wife out and laid some terrible trap for her.
Well, it is a possible supposition.
What, you think so too?
I did not say a probable one.
Flora wouldn't hurt a fly.
Well, jealousy is a strange transformer of character. Pray, what is your own theory?
Well, really, I came to seek a theory, not to propound one. But since you ask me, it has occurred to me that the excitement of this affair, the consciousness that she has made so immense a social stride, may have had the effect of causing some little nervous disturbance in my wife.
You believe that she had become suddenly deranged?
Well, I can hardly explain it in any other fashion.
Well, it certainly is a conceivable hypothesis. Well, I don't think I need detain you any longer. I shall communicate with you.
Should you be fortunate enough to solve this problem?
I have solved it.
What was that?
I say that I've solved it.
Then where is my wife?
That is a detail which I shall speedily supply.
If that is an attempt at humour, Mr. Holmes, I find it sadly misplaced. I'm afraid that it will take wiser heads than yours or mine to solve this mystery. Gentlemen.
Lord Robert.
It's very good of the noble lord to honour my head by putting it on a level with his own.
Have you really solved it?
Yeah, before he ever came into the room.
You don't forget that then, leave
that. Sarge?
Don't forget it.
I've got a cab for the old man.
For pity's sake, laddie, as you call him that, you'll be on the beat for the rest of your natural.
Oh, sorry, Sarge. What's the matter with him anyway? I thought he'd be pleased we found something.
It wasn't exactly what he was expecting. Where's his cab then?
Over there. Cabby wanted to know where he was going.
Huh. Where do you think?
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. Much appreciated.
Well, always a pleasure to see you, my dear Lestrade. What's up? You look dissatisfied.
And I feel dissatisfied. It's this infernal St. Simon marriage case. I can make neither head nor tail of the business.
Really? You surprise me.
Did he come to see you?
You've only just missed him, Inspector.
He told me he was thinking of it. Asked me if I had any objection.
And did you?
Of course not. I said it might be of some assistance.
Oh, you're too generous.
You're not having much luck with this case, then.
Every clue seems to slip through my fingers. I've been working on it all day.
And very wet it seems to have made you.
Yes, I've been dragging the serpentine.
In heaven's name, what for?
For the body of Lady Robert St. Simon.
Have you dragged the basin of the Trafalgar Square fountain?
No, why? What do you mean?
Well, because you've just as good a chance of finding this lady in the one as in the other.
I suppose you know all about it,
Well, my mind is made up.
Oh, indeed. And you think that the serpentine plays no part in the matter?
I think it very unlikely.
Then perhaps you will kindly explain how it is that we found these in it. Lady Robert's wedding dress, Lady Robert's veil, Lady Robert's shoes. They've been in the water at least 2 days, as had this, Lady Robert's wedding ring.
I appreciate your dilemma. All of the wrapping and none of the contents.
Yes, we found nothing else, but it seemed to me that if the clothes were there, the corpse might not be far off.
By the same brilliant reasoning, every man's body is to be found in the neighbourhood of his wardrobe. Are you hoping to prove that this is evidence against the Flora Miller woman? I'm afraid you'll find it very difficult.
Oh, are you indeed? Well, I'm afraid that you've made 2 blunders in as many minutes. This dress quite definitely implicates Miss Flora Miller.
How does it do that, Inspector?
In the dress is a pocket. In the pocket was a card case. And in the card case was a note. This note. I'll tell you what it says, shall I? Meet me as soon as you can, Victoria Gate, Hyde Park. FHM. This is the very note that Flora Miller, and her confederates, no doubt, used to lure Lady Robert within their reach.
Very good, Inspector. Let me see it. Well, this is indeed important. I congratulate you, Lestrade.
You're looking on the wrong side.
No, on the contrary.
You're mad. Look, here's the note over here.
And over here is a fragment of an hotel bill which interests me deeply. Now, what's your opinion, Watson?
Careful with that, if you please. It's vital evidence.
Of course, Inspector. October 4th, Rooms 8 shillings, breakfast 2 shillings and sixpence, cocktail 1 shilling, lunch 2 and 6, glass sherry 8p.
I see nothing in that.
Very likely not. It is most important nonetheless, and so are the initials. So I congratulate you again. Now, if you'll both excuse me, I think it's time for a little outdoor work. Just one hint to you, Lestrade.
Oh, yes?
Yes, I will tell you the true solution of the matter. Lady Robert St. Simon is a myth. There is not, and there never has been, any such person. Good afternoon.
The Langham Hotel, please, cabby. The Caledonian. The Grand. The Marlborough. The International. Connaught. The Fotherington. Argos. The Northumberland.
Cool, Governor. You must be ready hard to please. Dr. Watson? Sir?
Yes? What is it, Mrs. Hudson?
I'm so sorry to wake you, Doctor, but there's a special delivery.
A special delivery? What, for me?
Well, no, sir, for Mr. Holmes. But I didn't want the men to come barging in on you just like that.
The men? Just what are they delivering, for goodness sake?
Excuse me.
I thought I told you to wait downstairs.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but we do have other calls to make. Now, where do you want all this food?
How many times? I never set eyes on the damn thing before.
Meet me as soon as you can. Victoria Gate, Hyde Park. FHM. Victoria Gate is precisely where you were seen, fighting with Lady Robert.
It's not even my writing.
Then one of your confederates wrote it for you.
This is ridiculous.
Oh, ridiculous, you call it? Well, I call it murder, and so will the judge and jury. Now, why don't you make things easy on yourself and tell me the truth?
Holmes, I was beginning to think you'd disappeared too.
Ah, they've laid the supper, then.
They've laid for 5 people. What's it all about? I don't mind telling you, Mrs. Hudson was more than a little put out.
Huh?
And what is wrong with the food I provide, I'd like to know.
Well, I fancied that our company would appreciate something a little more Epicurean. Yeah, they'll be arriving soon.
Holmes?
My dear fellow.
I've been going over this business.
With what result?
Jumping a claim.
Very good, Watson.
I know it's significant, but I don't know why.
Is that so?
Holmes, don't be so infuriated.
It's miner's parlance. Means taking possession of something to which another person has a prior claim.
Does it indeed?
Our first supper guest. He should feel at home amongst these ancient and cobwebby bottles. Oh, just listen to that.
Oh, dear. Doesn't all go well.
Mr. Holmes.
Lord Robert, good evening.
Good evening, my lord.
Mr. Holmes, I am not accustomed to being summoned in this peremptory manner. If you have news of my wife, why did you not put it in your message?
Because I feared you would not accept my invitation had I done so.
So you do have news?
Not concerning your wife.
What nonsense is
this? Watson, be so good as to get Lord Robert a drink. His nerves seem to be somewhat on edge.
Certainly. My lord?
No, thank you.
Ah, splendid, the remainder of our little party. Lord Robert, I am in possession of all the facts of your case.
You know where my wife
but
is.
But I do not believe that I am the best person to explain them to you.
What do you mean?
I have therefore invited 2 other people of my acquaintance to do so in my place. Pray excuse me. Lord Robert St. Simon, allow me to introduce you to Mr. and Mrs. Francis Hay Moulton, the lady I think you have already met.
Hello, Robert. Come in.
Evening, sir. There's a note came for you. Here.
Came? What time was this handed in?
About 2 hours ago, sir. I've only just seen it. Everyone else assumed you'd gone home.
Who delivered it?
The lad on the front desk didn't know him, sir. Mm. But he described him as a tall chap, sharp features, piercing eyes.
What?
Is everything all right, sir?
No, Sergeant. It is not. Excuse me. Sergeant Sacker?
Inspector?
The woman in cell 15.
Miller, yes, sir.
Let her go.
You're angry, Robert. Well, I guess you have every cause to be.
Pray make no apology to me. Simply give me some sort of explanation.
Well...
Perhaps you would like my friend and me to leave the room.
If I may give an opinion.
Mr. Moulton, pray do so.
I believe we have had just a little too much secrecy over this business already. Hattie?
You're right. Well, gentlemen, Robert, Frank and I met in 81 in McQuire's mining camp in the Rockies. Pa and me were poor back then. Pretty soon we were engaged to each other. Then my father struck a rich pocket and made a pile.
While my claim just petered out.
Pa wouldn't hear of our engagement lasting any longer. He took me away to Frisco. Frank followed me in secret. He just wouldn't throw up his hand.
It seemed to me, gentlemen, that love was love, and money shouldn't come into the matter.
Quite right, sir.
But I'm afraid life is rarely as straightforward as that. Don't you agree, Lord Robert? Pray continue, Mrs. Moulton.
We knew that Pa would never give his consent to us getting married.
So we decided I had to make my fortune, too.
But before Frank left to go back to the mines, we got married in secret.
Good God. Do you realize what you're saying?
Yes, of course I do. It was just a clergyman and a few words, and then we split up straight away. But it was a holy pledge between us.
Do you seriously mean to say, madam, that you knowingly allowed me to publicly humiliate myself and my family?
Of course not, Robert. You may find it hard to believe, but I respected you and your family. I thought Frank was dead.
I was working a miner's camp in New Mexico. We were attacked by the Apache Indians. It was a terrible massacre. Word went out that everyone had been killed, but that wasn't the truth. A few of us were taken prisoner.
How long were you held captive?
4 years, Mr. Holmes. And if you'll forgive me, gentlemen, I'd rather not say any more on the matter.
Of course.
After we had the news, I was ill for a long time. Really ill. Then slowly I began to get better. And then Lord Robert came to Frisco, and we came to London, and a marriage was arranged, and Pa was very pleased. But I felt all the time that no man on this earth would ever take the place in my heart that had been given to my poor Frank.
You escaped from your captivity, Mr. Moulton?
I did, sir. And I traced my Hattie here to London. I stayed in various places.
Your penultimate address being the Northumberland Hotel.
How did you know that? Anyway, this city's mighty big to track down one particular person, but I finally saw the announcement of the wedding in a paper. It didn't say where Hattie lived, but it did give the name of the church. Well, I had no choice but to turn up there and try to speak to her somehow.
And I believe we know most of the rest.
You can imagine what I felt when I turned around right after the ceremony and saw Frank looking out at me from the first pew.
You deliberately dropped your bouquet to give you time to gather yourself.
And I slipped a note into it.
Meet me as soon as you can, Victoria Gate, Hyde Park, FHM.
So that was the reason for all the fuss over the wretched flowers. Why did you say nothing to me of all this?
In front of your mother and all those other lords and ladies? Robert, I was scared. Oh, I know I shouldn't have done what I did, and I've been so ashamed of it all.
You went to Hyde Park directly you left the wedding breakfast?
Yes. I was already upset by what I'd done, and some horrible woman grabbed me and said the nastiest things. Seems to me you had a secret or two of your own, Lord Robert. But I got away from her, met my Frank, and we drove away to the lodgings he'd taken. And that was my true wedding after all those years of waiting.
I was all for telling our story and facing the consequences.
But I persuaded him that we should just disappear.
So I bundled up Hattie's wedding things and got rid of them so she couldn't be traced.
And we were to go to Paris tomorrow.
Were to, Mrs. Moulton? What made you change your minds?
Why, this gentleman here, Mr. Holmes. He called on us this evening and showed me so clearly and kindly that I was wrong and Frank was right. I'll never know how you found us, sir. Now, Robert, you've heard it all. I went to the altar intending that I would be the best wife to you that ever I could be. We can't command our love, but we can command our actions. But now, well, my first duty has to be to Frank. I'm very sorry if I've given you pain, and I hope you don't think too meanly of me. Robert, please say something.
It is not my custom to discuss my intimate personal affairs in this public manner.
Then you won't forgive me? You won't shake hands before I go?
Certainly, if it will give you any pleasure. There.
I had hoped, my lord, that you would join us in a friendly supper.
I may be forced to acquiesce in these recent developments, Mr. Holmes, but I can hardly be expected to make merry over them. I think that with your permission, I will now wish you all a very good night. Mrs. Moulton. Gentlemen.
Well, I trust that you at least will honour us with your company.
Why, thank you, Mr. Holmes. I believe my wife and I would be delighted.
Splendid. Allow me, Mrs. Moulton.
Thank you, sir.
It's always a joy to me to meet an American, Mr. Moulton. I am one of those who believe that the folly of a monarch and the blundering of a minister in far gone years will not prevent our children from being someday citizens of the same worldwide country under a flag which shall be a quartering of the Union Jack with the stars and stripes. Watson, be so good as to pour the wine for the first course.
Here.
Thank you. Well, your very good health.
And yours.
Well, it's been an interesting little case. It was, of course, blindingly obvious that the key to the whole thing was the wedding ceremony itself. Now, beforehand, the lady had been perfectly willing, but she repented of it almost immediately afterwards.
But St. Simon himself said that when she made up her mind, she was absolutely unswerving.
Which meant that whatever happened must have been of tremendous importance. She spoke to no one, therefore she saw someone. She'd been in this country far too briefly to allow anyone here to develop such a profound influence over her, therefore the someone she saw was an American. It was no great feat to deduce either a lover or a husband. The overheard reference to claim jumping made everything clear.
You have to admit, though, that you never would have tracked them down without Lestrade's discovery of the hotel bill.
Certainly I would. Simply have taken a little longer.
But surely you didn't intend to check the registers of every hotel in London?
Of course not. No, this is obviously one of the most select establishments.
How did you deduce that?
Well, by the select prices. 8 shillings for a bed and 8 pence for a glass of sherry. There aren't many places that charge at that rate.
Damn weather must be affecting my brain.
Well, you're the doctor. What was fortunate was that Moulton had obligingly left a forwarding address.
One last thing for my notes.
Of course.
All the way through, there's been something about this case that I haven't quite been able to put my finger on. You knew about it, and so did Lord Robert, and it was something that he didn't want discussed, am I right?
Quite right. Congratulations on your perception. I commend to your notice a small piece in today's Times about the Duke of Balmoral.
St. Simon's father? What about him? I hope he's a touch more gracious than his son.
He's selling some paintings for the second time this year. Some of them have been in the family for generations.
Oh, you surely can't mean this short of money?
The whole family is close to penniless. Perhaps you wouldn't be very gracious either if you found yourself deprived in the same instant of both wife and fortune. How is the excellent Miss Morstan, by the way?
She's very well, thank you. I'm greatly looking forward to our wedding.
Ah, make sure you keep an eye out for strange gentlemen sitting in front pews. Well, now the case is cleared up and the client has departed. Hand me my violin, would you? Draw your chair up to the fire. So the only problem we have still to solve is how to while away these bleak autumnal evenings.
In The Noble Bachelor, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Medicine and Dr. Watson by Michael Williams. St. Simon was played by John Rye, Hattie by Catherine Fershpan, and Duran by David Healy. With Mary Allen as Mrs. Hudson, Donald G. as Lestrade, Tara Dominic as Flora, Ian Lindsay as the Vicar, Elizabeth Kelly as the Duchess, Andrew Wincott as the Footman, Danny Schiller as the Sergeant, and Stephen Garlick as Moulton. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The violinist was Leonard Friedman. The Noble Bachelor was dramatized for radio by Bert Cools and directed by Enid Williams.
Well, George, here's to the next stage of your career. George!
15 black.
This is all rather premature, I'm afraid.
Come on, it's in the bag and you know it.
Oh, no! Damn it to hell!
Oh, good Lord.
The blazes with a lot of you. You can go and rot for all I care. Give me some of that.
Harold. What, heaven's sake?
What, keep my voice down? Behave myself? Showing you up, am I, Father?
It's yourself you're showing up. I'm taking you home.
Kindly take your hands off me. I can walk.
You can do so. Settle your debts and we'll leave.
Settle my debts?
Come on. We're getting you out of here.
16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Not a bad night. Oh.
I hear there was trouble.
Young Utwood got a bit drunk.
Did he pay anything off his account?
Oh, what do you think?
I think, Mr. Catterall, that my patience is running out.
The striking success of Miss Franny Blossom by Bert Cools, with Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Andrew Sachs as Dr. John Watson, and featuring Geoffrey Whitehead as Colonel Upwood, Maggie Steed as Mrs. Ricoletti, and Stephen Thorne as Inspector Lestrade. The striking success of Miss Franny Blossom.
Well, sir, are you going to tell me or not?
It's 2,000... near as damn it.
£2,000. And do you owe this to your so-called friends or to the club?
The club. Always play against the house. Better odds. Until they started rigging the games, that is.
You're accusing the Nonpareil Club of rigging the games?
It's true.
Stupid young fool. I hope you've kept this nonsense to yourself. It's bad enough that you owe them money. I suppose you don't have it.
Well, of course I don't. Why do you think I've been trying to win it back?
I might be able to help.
Have you got that sort of money?
I can get it.
Are you certain?
One of the girls heard him.
And just how many people has he said this to?
Not many, she thinks. But he was talking about spreading the word. Something's got to be done.
Good morning, Harold.
Father? Have you got the money yet?
Not yet. But I said I'd get it, and I shall.
It's taking you long enough.
Be careful, boy. My patience has its limits.
Look at this. From Catterall.
Tonight?
That's what it says, in full. Can you get it by tonight?
What's the time?
1:45. Time for us to go.
Us?
There's something very wrong about all this. I'm coming with you.
He said alone. He meant alone. Give me the bag.
Here.
You sure it's all there?
For heaven's sake, boy, shut it. You don't know who's about this time of night. Now go. I'll wait here for you.
I think I'm old enough to find my own way home, don't you?
Harold.
Sorry, but I have to do this on my own. Please.
Very well. I'll see you at home.
Right. Father, thank you. I mean it.
Oh, you stupid dog. What's the matter with you? You wake up the ducks. What you got there, Gil? What you found? Angels and ministers of grace defend us.
Carol? Carol Upwood, sir.
What? What? Jenkins?
There's a man downstairs, Carol.
What? What do you mean, a man? A gentleman?
No, sir, he's from the police. A Mr. Lestrade.
Oh. Yes. That's him.
Thank you, sir. I'm very sorry for your loss.
Sir? Inspector?
Not now, Morley.
It's very important, sir.
Excuse me, Colonel.
Of course, of course.
All right, what is it?
I found this, sir, just before you arrived.
What do you mean you found it? Where?
In the wound. Push right in.
Show me. Good God above. What sort of lunatic sticks a playing card into a dead man's throat?
The Ace of Spades. The death card.
Colonel, you shouldn't have seen this.
Show me the back. Show me the back, Inspector.
Sir.
The Nonpareil Club.
Right, sir. What's so significant about the Nonpareil Club?
Harold was a member. He received this yesterday morning.
The Nonpareil Club. Make sure it's all there and come alone, Catterall.
He's the manager.
Yes, I know. Looks genuine. I take it this is about a gambling debt.
I'm afraid Harold owed them rather a large sum. That's why he was there, to hand it over.
West Ring Bridge, Hyde Park. 1:00 in the morning. Didn't you think that was just a touch unusual?
Of course I did. But you don't argue with a man like Catterall. The Nonpareil Club might be highly respectable, but I wouldn't say the same for the people who run it.
No, Colonel. Neither would I.
We're closed.
Not to me, you're not. Police.
What do you want?
A word with the man in charge.
He's not here. Will I do?
I doubt it. Who are you?
Nicholson, assistant manager.
Then you'll know where I can find Albert Catterall.
I wish I did. It's not the first time he's run off and left me to sort things out for him.
All right, Nicholson, I'll deal with this.
Ma'am?
I do apologise, Mr...
Lestrade, ma'am. Detective Inspector.
Oh, I'm sorry to have kept you waiting, Mr. Lestrade. Nobody told me you were here. My name is Francesca Ricoletti. I own this establishment.
I know who you are, ma'am.
Yes. I imagine you do. Please have a seat, Mr. Lestrade.
No, thank you, ma'am.
Just as you like. Now, Detective Inspector, before you start, please listen to me. Whatever I used to be, I'm now a legitimate businesswoman. Oh, kindly wipe that look off your face. This isn't the 18th century. And I run a legitimate establishment. Do you know why this club is called the Nonpareil?
No, ma'am, I don't.
Because it's exactly that. Without equal. Unique. This establishment has some extremely important and influential members, Mr. Lestrade. Extremely important. I advise you to tread very carefully.
For heaven's sake, girl, what's the matter?
In there, Mr. Jenkins, in there!
Have you been in the master's study?
Blood! There's blood!
Colonel!
Jenkins.
Dear God.
I'm all right. Send for the police.
The police?
Tell them it's Albert Catterall. And tell them he's dead.
You're very quiet.
Sorry.
You didn't like it?
Well, I wouldn't put it quite as strongly as that.
You didn't like it much?
I'm afraid not. I did enjoy some of it.
Oh, then you're in good company. You're familiar with Rossini.
William Tell Overture.
That's the chap. He said that Wagner had magnificent moments, but terrible quarters of an hour.
Very perceptive. My choice next week?
That was the arrangement. What's it to be?
Wait and see. Did you know that we're being watched?
We have been ever since we emerged. Ah, now we're being approached.
Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Good evening, Mr.
I'm to give you this.
Well, on whose instructions?
Come back here. Hey! Damn, should I go after him? Holmes, shall I go after him?
No. He's not important.
Who's it from?
A very old friend. Mrs. Ricoletti.
Mr. Holmes. You're looking well.
And so are you. Your recent trip to Paris was enjoyable, I hope.
Still doing the same old tricks, then.
They have their uses.
With some people, perhaps. And you, of course, are Dr. John H. Watson.
At your service, madam.
I wonder if you really mean that.
Enough pleasantries. Why are you here?
You're quite sure you're well enough to talk, Colonel?
I am, Inspector. I've had far worse than this in the field.
Very good. So, this man Catterall came here demanding money.
The money he'd already been given. The gall of the man amazed me.
And you accused him of murdering your son.
He stood there and laughed in my face. Damned villain. Just kept on and on about the money.
And when you insisted that he'd already had it...
He pulled a knife and came at me. I tried to dodge him. Planned to grab his wrist, disarm him, and hold him while Jenkins went for the authorities. Not as young as I used to be, I'm afraid.
There was a messy struggle. You were badly injured, and he...
Yes. I don't quite know how it happened. I think I caught him off balance. He fell. He was still holding the knife, and... I'm not proud of it, Inspector.
A man has the right to defend himself in his own home, Colonel.
That's not the point. I wanted Harold's killer to face a jury. I wanted justice for my son.
You appear to be very well informed about these two killings, Mrs. Ricoletti.
I have my methods, Doctor.
Which clearly extend even to the back door of Scotland Yard. What exactly do you require of me?
I want you to find out what really happened.
You don't accept the official version of events.
Mr. Holmes, Albert Catterall did not murder Harold Upwood.
You know this for a fact.
Just as I know that Catterall didn't send that note, didn't go to Hyde Park, and didn't collect the money.
How do you know this?
The note, because it's preposterous. That's not how we conduct our business. The rest, because I know that he was somewhere else all that night.
Where?
Dr. Watson knows.
Watson...
Well...
Please say it, Doctor. I assure you I shan't be in the least offended.
Well, then, I believe he was with you.
Is that true?
Yes, it is. Very perceptive, Doctor.
You say that Catterall didn't kill the Upwood boy. What about the other business? Why did he attack the Colonel?
I don't believe that he did attack him.
There was no fight.
I didn't say that.
Well, then your contention is that Colonel Upwood somehow lured Catterall to his home, murdered him in cold blood, and then arranged things to look like an accident? Why did he do this?
Because if Catterall had lived, he would have been able to prove that he didn't kill the boy, and then the police would have started looking elsewhere.
You're saying that the Colonel himself, his own son...
I'm saying nothing of the sort. In my position, I can hardly accuse a prominent servant of the Queen of multiple murder.
Not without proof.
Exactly. So, Will you take the case? I'm very grateful to you.
Your gratitude is premature.
I don't believe so. Doctor, would you?
Oh, of course.
Thank you. Mr. Holmes?
Mrs. Ricoletti.
I've come to you because I want this done properly. But if you fail, I do have other methods available to me. It would grieve me to have to use them, but I won't hesitate if it proves necessary. You understand me?
Perfectly.
I knew you would. Thank you, Doctor.
And madam?
All right, driver.
Very good, sir. Hop there!
Holmes.
Not here, Doctor. Let's go back inside. You're wondering who she is.
Well, of course I am. But look, it's really none of my business. If you prefer not to tell me...
No, there's no secret about it. I was once able to do some small service for the late Mr. Ricoletti.
And you met her then?
Yeah, she was plain Franny Blossom in those days. An actress no one had heard of, nor was likely to. Ricoletti was married to a very different class of woman.
Oh, different in what way?
Well, mostly in the way of trying to kill her husband for his money.
Charming.
Well, eventually she gave up trying and went off to find an easier target. She succeeded, too. Bought a rather pleasant seafront hotel in Eastbourne on the proceeds.
Leaving the matrimonial path clear. Had she loved him from afar, Miss Franny Blossom? A hopeless yearning, fulfilled at last?
No, actually, the lady's affections had been directed at someone else. But to put it in your rather overwrought terms, she was doomed to disappointment.
And she married Ricoletti as second best? Oh, that can lead to disaster.
Happily, not in this case. They were one of the most contented couples I've ever known. And two of the most successful criminals.
I knew it. Holmes, how can you justify working for a criminal?
By the fact that she no longer is one. When she was widowed, she inherited her husband's business interests. But without him, her heart wasn't in it. She put the life behind her, and she's been beyond reproach for years.
What about that little farewell speech of hers?
Well, evidently she hasn't thrown away Ricoletti's address book. Get your hat.
Frankly, Mr. Holmes, I wouldn't have thought this was your cup of tea at all. It seems to be a very sordid little affair.
Well, no doubt you're right, Lestrade, but I've been asked to look into it nonetheless.
By the Ricoletti woman, I suppose. Well, I'd advise you to watch yourself with that one. Look at this. Harold Upwood's throat was slit. We found this pushed down inside the wound.
Yes, I know. The ace of spades out of a pack from the Nonpareil Club.
How the devil did you know that? No, never mind. I ought to be used to it by now. The point is, Catterall was planning a repeat performance on the Colonel. This was in one of his pockets.
Another ace of spades?
And from the same source. As far as I'm concerned, Catterall was our murderer, and this is an open and shut case. There's only one more thing to find out.
And what is that?
Whether or not he was working under orders from your client.
What did you find out about our Colonel Upwood?
Oh, he had an outstanding record in his younger days. Several decorations.
Naturally.
Things rather flattened out for him. He was taken off active service because of his health and put behind a desk. Happens to a lot of good men.
And presumably some take it better than others. Ring again.
Yes. Oh, this isn't going to be easy, is it? The room's probably been cleaned. There weren't any witnesses. How can you find out if it really was an accident or if it was murder?
I thought I'd ask him.
No, Mr. Holmes, I didn't kill him. You have my word on it. Though things might well have been different if I'd still had my old revolver and a cartridge or two.
It would be wiser not to say that at the inquest, Colonel.
It's the truth, sir. I've never shrunk from it before. I see no reason to start now.
You're in no doubt that Catterall killed your son?
None whatsoever. How much more proof do you need?
Did you know the man yourself?
I'd seen him at the club. Had no direct dealing with him. The police told me he was a shady character. Not that it needed saying, of course. Man was obviously a thug.
How did you come to be a member of the Nonpareil Club, Colonel?
Oh, some of the chaps in the regiment put me onto the place. They serve a first-class port.
And the gambling?
I enjoy the odd hand. who doesn't? Can't let it rule your life, though. That's the thing. Pity my son never learned that lesson. Mr. Holmes, do you know if Catterall had any family?
Why do you ask, Colonel?
I was just wondering if the man's father is still alive.
May I inquire why?
I should like to send him my condolences on his loss.
I think this is the place, the southern end of the West Ring Bridge. Isn't that what Lestrade said? Holmes?
I'm sorry, Doctor. I was thinking about our remarkable colonel.
Oh, you mean the comment about Catterall's father? Yes, I suppose it was a trifle strange. But it is the decent thing to do.
Yeah.
What, you think it was an act? If it was, it was a damn good one.
Sometimes I think I spend my entire life surrounded by very good actors. Yeah, but I'm falling into your bad habit, my friend. Building theories on sand. Yes, this is the place.
Strange spot for a rendezvous.
And over a murder. Ah, there's too many people have trapped across here. Yeah, there's nothing to be read on this page. You know...
What?
I'd rather like a cup of tea.
Could you read anything from the Colonel's study?
Well, I could tell where the body fell. That's about all. You know, you were right. Someone had done an excellent job of cleaning and tidying. Oh, there was one thing.
What was that?
The view from the window. It was full of interest. I have to see that letter from Catterall.
I thought you'd asked to see it while we were at the yard. Why didn't you?
There was no point.
Of course there was a point.
I didn't have a sample of his writing to compare it with.
Ah.
Well, time to remedy that, I think. I'm going to the Nonpareil Club.
You don't want me to come with you?
No, I have another mission for you. Go down to the police mortuary and see if you can't get a look at the post-mortem reports on Upwood and Catterall. Excuse me.
What do you want?
Nothing that need alarm you.
Mr. Holmes. Sorry, sir. I thought you were another policeman.
That he most certainly is not. Good afternoon, Mr. Holmes.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Ricoletti. I've come to ask for your help.
No. It's a little too public here. We'll go up to my office. You must excuse Mr. Nicholson. That policeman was here again.
Lestrade thinks that Catterall was acting on your orders.
So I discovered.
Was he?
Do you think I've been lying to you? You used to be able to tell. No, Mr. Holmes, he was not. What can I do for you?
Firstly, you can tell me if you had any reason to want Harold Upwood dead.
I? Yes, I'm afraid I did.
Does Lestrade know that?
I told him.
That was wise. If he thinks you're concealing evidence...
He already thinks that. Don't you want to know what my reason was?
The money?
The money was nothing. This was far more serious. Young Upwood somehow got it into his stupid head that my games are fixed. He was threatening to put that word around society. It would have caused a major scandal.
Only if the accusations were true, surely.
Holmes, I have royalty playing here. Even the suggestion of cheating would have been enough. It would have been a major embarrassment for the palace, and I'd have been ruined.
Did Albert Catterall know all this?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Here, Doctor.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Morley.
You do understand about the post-mortem reports?
Oh, if Lestrade says they're confidential, we must respect that, of course.
Thank you, Doctor. This is a good job. I don't want to lose it.
Besides, I believe I found everything I need from the bodies.
I really don't know why you're bothering, Mr. Holmes. I've already compared it to a known sample of Catterall's hand. It's a perfect match.
May I see the envelope?
Yeah, of course, for all the good it'll do you.
Thank you. Delivered by hand.
From the district messenger office in Piccadilly, which Catterall used for all his important post. A rather interesting point, wouldn't you say, Mr. Holmes?
Exceedingly so. Thank you, Lestrade. I'm most grateful. May I offer you a word of friendly advice?
Can I stop you?
It'll be Christmas before we know it. Ask Mrs. Lestrade to put a magnifying lens in your stocking. the letters of forgery.
Oh, no, Mr. Holmes, I remember most particular. We simply don't get that class of person in here, you understand. So I remember most particular. Saw the girl from the nonpareil drop one of her letters in the street, followed her here and handed it in so it could go off safe with the others. Goes to show, doesn't it? Poor yes. broken soul, living rough, but honest as the day's long. There's a lesson there, Mr. Holmes.
Tell me, what did this paragon of virtue look like?
Well, to be honest, sir, all I could really swear to was the coat.
The coat?
Had it all wrapped round like a shroud. Ooh, great heavy brown coat, all ripped up and stained with God knows what. That any help to you, sir?
Both men were killed with a long-bladed, double-sided knife. It needn't necessarily have been the same weapon, but the odds are very good that it was. Upward's throat was cut almost from ear to ear. Really savage attack.
And Catterall?
Stabbed to the heart. I say the angle of the thrust was quite consistent with it happening accidentally in a struggle.
Thank you, Doctor.
But there was one odd thing.
Oh?
This struggle must have been pretty fierce, wouldn't you say? You saw the state that Colonel Upward was in?
I saw a lot of bandages. I prefer to reserve my judgment about the actual wounds.
Well, this might help you make up your mind. Catterall's body didn't carry any signs of a fight.
None?
No contusions, no abrasions, and apart from that one single fatal wound, no cuts at all.
Fascinating. Excellent work, Watson.
Thank you. Now, how did you get on? Did you look at the note?
Oh, yes.
And was it Catterall's handwriting?
It was superficially similar, but to the trained eye, there were at least 11 vital differences. The T's alone were conclusive.
So it was a forgery. Mrs. Ricoletti was telling the truth.
Did you doubt it?
Well, didn't you? You're the one who said that women can never be trusted. What was it? Not even the best of them. And you know what they say? Once a criminal...
They say many things, Doctor. I prefer to rely on facts.
So, if Catterall didn't send the note, who did?
Gentlemen, good evening.
Mrs. Ricoletti.
Well, Mr. Holmes, have you made any progress?
Yes, I have, and now once again I need your help.
With what?
Colonel Upward told me that he was introduced to this establishment by a group of army friends. Are they here tonight?
Some of them are.
Perhaps you'll be good enough to point them out.
Of course. Are you going to talk to them?
No. The military mind is Watson's territory.
To your success.
I don't like to anticipate the outcome of a case.
Cautious as ever. All right. I'll settle for your very good health.
And yours. Oh, this is excellent.
Oh, I have it imported specially. I got the taste from my late husband.
He did always insist on the very best.
Yes, he did. I'm afraid your Dr. Watson rather disapproves of me.
You know, the good doctor can be somewhat conventional at times.
Do you share his opinion?
Have I given you that impression?
Please, just for once, answer a question without thinking about it first. Do you disapprove of me?
No, I don't.
See? You can do it if you try. Why didn't you keep in touch?
I didn't realize you were expecting me to.
No, I don't suppose you did. Understanding women was never your strong point, was it? Even women on the wrong side of the law.
I thought those days were all behind you.
And so they are. When Alberto died...
I was sorry to hear about that.
But not sorry enough to come to the funeral.
It was out of the country, a murder in France.
And if you'd been here, would you have come?
Yes, I would.
It was a bad time. I could have done with a friend. And now it's happened all over again.
Was he a good man, Catterall?
Yes, he was. Oh, a bit rough round the edges, I grant you. Something of a past. But no violence, and most certainly no murder. I wouldn't have tolerated that.
I know it.
You do? Perhaps you understand me better than I thought.
Perhaps I do.
Will you tell me something?
What?
Back when Alberto and I were in business together, why did you never interfere?
Our paths simply never crossed. I can act only when I'm engaged to do so.
And do you accept every commission which comes your way?
Certainly not. Oh, one has to be selective.
Ah.
Our lives are defined by our choices, as the old philosopher said.
And sometimes by other people's. Come on, finish your drink and we'll get back downstairs.
Red, gentlemen. 23 red.
Excuse me. Thank you. Holmes.
Oh, anything interesting?
Let's get away from this crowd.
Apparently, Colonel Upwood has been dropping hints about some great opportunity coming his way.
What sort of opportunity?
They're not sure, but they know this. It has a royal connection.
Now, what would our ruling family want with a retired army colonel?
It could be some sort of honorary position. Military advisor, perhaps. A tutor. Well, these things do happen. All it takes is a friend in the right place, someone remembering an old favour. Oh, they're highly sought after, too, jobs like that.
Because of the material rewards.
In the Fusiliers, they still talk about Major General Frederick Bellamy Smith. He was made Master of the Sword to one of the more obscure princes. It got him an income for life, a butt of sherry every lady day, and an apartment in Eaton Place.
Upwood's not a wealthy man. Quite the opposite, in fact. But I don't think he'd murder purely for material gain.
No, it's not just that. These posts are very prestigious. They grant you an entry to the court.
So, our colonel was about to go from obscure and abandoned to having the ear of the highest in the land, except that his son's making a public spectacle of himself and is about to embarrass the crown.
And so he had to die?
Men have been killed for less, Watson, a very great deal less.
Well, perhaps they have, but the man's own son.
Stepson. Stepson.
He wasn't his natural son.
Upwood's first marriage was childless, but his second wife was a widow with a 15-year-old son. The woman died of pneumonia 5 years ago when Harold was 20.
And the boy stayed with his stepfather?
Roof over his head, money on tap, and the colonel tolerated him.
Until the boy's behaviour threatened what he's always wanted.
It's not proof, Holmes.
No, it isn't.
And if you're right, I can't see Upwood confessing. How can we prove it? One way or the other.
Short of a witness in the park who saw the murder.
If there had been a witness, Lestrade would have ferreted him out. You know how persistent he is.
It's possible that he didn't look. As far as Lestrade's concerned, that side of the matter's closed. It's Mrs. Ricoletti he's after now.
Inspector, this is harassment, pure and simple.
I just want to ask you a few more questions. Wouldn't you prefer to resume this conversation inside?
No, sir, I would not. And unless you want to hear from my solicitors, I suggest you don't try to force your way into my premises again.
You're not doing yourself any favours, you know.
I don't stand in need of any, sir. Not from the police.
And don't think that Mr. Sherlock Holmes is going to get you out of trouble. Not this time.
Who's dead at this hour? Get that bacon on the plate, girl. You know what he's like if his breakfast's late.
Yes, Mr. Jenkins.
We don't give to beggars. Be off with you, woman.
Not a beggar. Got a message.
Keep your distance. That coat's crawling.
Got a message for the colonel.
Well, what is it?
Tell him I sleep under the bridge every night. But I don't sleep well.
Be on your way before I fetch a constable.
He wouldn't want you to do that. Tell him.
Very good. Can you entertain yourself today?
We're not working on the case.
There's something I have to check.
And you don't need my help?
Not until later. Just after midnight, your assistance will be vital.
Are you planning something illegal? Not another burglary.
Not burglary, no. At least not by the strict definition of the word. I'll be back tonight.
Come on, then. Show yourself, woman. Show yourself, damn it.
Yeah.
Well, if you've something to say, then say it. Very well.
Thank you, Colonel. Exactly the reaction I was hoping for. Drop your knife. What? Very sensible.
What is the meaning of this? What do you want?
I want justice. Mr. Nicholson?
Ma'am?
Blindfold him.
No. Keep away from me!
Well, Colonel, how does it feel to be about to meet your fate?
Oh, for pity's sake, Holmes. Oh, thank God.
Ah, you found something.
Yes, I did. Several things, in fact.
Do they prove that he's guilty?
Let's get back to Baker Street.
I told you there was no danger of discovery. I spent the day making sure of it. The movements of the servants, the neighbours, the constable on the beat.
You never said anything about a policeman,
didn't I? Oh, must have slipped my mind.
Surely that's not a visitor at this hour.
No doubt about it. Don't you recognise the coachman?
Good evening, gentlemen. You've met Mr. Nicholson, I believe. And you know the Colonel, of course.
Sit there and be quiet.
This is outrageous.
Doctor, the man's a murderer. Look, I've bound and gagged a man before. I know what I'm doing. Thank you, Mr. Nicholson. Beautifully done. Please wait for me downstairs.
You've jeopardised the entire case. This is common assault.
Nonsense. I made a citizen's arrest based on very good evidence. He was going to attack me with this. You were told to be quiet.
Keep still, Upwood.
What are you doing?
I want him to be able to talk. There.
You thugs. I'll see you all in jail for this. Release me at once.
All in good time, Colonel. Perhaps you'd be kind enough to answer one question first.
You're insane, the lot of...
It's a simple enough question. Why is it, when you have an admirably efficient domestic staff, that you've taken to the very odd habit of disposing of your household waste by burying it in your back garden?
I've absolutely no idea what you're talking about, sir.
Oh, I think you have. The patch of newly turned earth was perfectly visible from the French windows in your study, and so were the footsteps leading from them straight to it. An odd starting point for a spot of gardening. Don't you agree?
This is arrant nonsense.
If the need ever arises again, I recommend an incinerator, but I suppose that would have excited too much attention.
Mr. Holmes, what exactly did he bury?
Oh, some extremely interesting items. Watson, the sack.
Here. Yeah.
Prosecution exhibit number one. A somewhat disreputable brown overcoat. It bears a curious resemblance to the one worn by the mysterious tramp who obligingly picked up a letter which nobody had dropped.
It's just an old coat. It proves nothing.
Exhibit number two, a handwritten note on the stationery of the Nonpareil Club. A fine example of the late Albert Cattrall's handwriting, perfect for copying.
And before you speak, Colonel, yes, I agree, it proves nothing. A competent defence lawyer would dispose of it in minutes, even in conjunction with your attack on this good lady. These things aren't sufficient to sway a fair-minded British jury.
At last, you're speaking sense, Holmes.
But consider exhibit number three, also buried, let us remember, with the rest. Two packs of playing cards from the Nonpareil Club, both of them brand new, freshly unsealed and quite unused, and both of them lacking the ace of spades.
So, another triumph for the great Sherlock Holmes. Another victory to be lauded to the skies and written down in the history books. Be thankful, Mr. Holmes.
For what?
For fame, for prestige, for power, for the fact that you can make a difference in this miserable world, for not having been forgotten.